Welcome back to another episode of the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest, blackest, and funniest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I'm coming straight from the side, going down. Audio Shop Talk right in your ear hole, brought to you by yours truly, Joseph Ward, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where we go down, stay down, to be down, the illest podcast you have ever heard, and the greatest sports podcast in your life. And if you don't like it, that's because you a hater, your mama ain't raised you right. And guess what? I'm still that dude that when you wake up in the morning and you go for your snacks, the dude that be butt naked in there like Melvin was and Baby Boy, and you like, man, why this butt naked dude in there? Because I'm on your mama. I'm on your mama. So, hey, man, welcome back. Welcome back. Everybody who new to the Fix Sports Podcast, hey, this is how I go down. For everybody who already been here before, you already know what it is, man. Give it to you. Sports the way we give it to you. Now, I've been telling y'all for weeks about what's going to happen today. So I just need you to close your eyes, relax, and take it. It's not going to hurt if you just take it. Just close your eyes and relax. It's really going down. Look at Hey, man, before I get into it, remember that the Fix Sports Podcast is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. And On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips, on the go. Our stories from our perspective at your fingertips through African history book series, the African history blog, the African history curriculum, African history online course, which is available for pre-sale at the website, www.ontheshoulders1.com. The nonprofit organization, the app is available on the website as well, www.ontheshoulders1.com, as well as the nonprofit organization face-to-face classes, or more like virtual classes, but you know, I'm thinking post-COVID, but virtual classes, anything you need education-wise when it comes to African history. You don't have to do none of the work. They already did all the work for you. Make sure you visit the website at www.ontheshoulders1.com. All right. So I've been telling y'all, I've been prepping y'all for this. I got my homies up in here, and I'm going to introduce everybody, but I got my homies up in here because we're about to break down the greatest college football teams of the past 40 years, from the 1980s to the 2020s. It's really about to go down. So we decided we're going to go through these decades and pick these teams and see who we're rolling with and how we rolling. We got 16 teams. We got our stuff in. We wanted to bring it to y'all. Like I said, I want to give y'all something different. So I'm going to introduce everybody, starting with the first square and going around to my upper left, probably to y'all upper right, whatever y'all see it. I got my homeboy, Sam Dixie, a.k.a. Rodo Willie, whatever you want to call him. Nah, my homeboy, yep. Man, we've been down since 89, since Pine View Elementary School. We played ball together. One of my good friends, we're bringing him on here. He going to help us talk about these greatest college football teams of all time. All right, so second, you've seen this gentleman on the Jamie Foxx show. You've seen him on the Johnson Family Reunion trying to steal Vanessa Williams. And he was in something else. I can't remember playing the game.
Man.
But give it up for my dog, Javon Grant, coming in here.
It's stupid.
And then last but not least, y'all familiar with the voice, y'all familiar with the face, coming back to you straight from Dallas, Texas, by way of Tallahassee, Florida. He got his FSU shirt on because he think they're going to be good one day again. He's Jimbo Fisher's nephew. Bring back my dog, Doc Love.
What's up? What's up? What's up?
Yeah. He knew Candy was getting hit by Taylor Jacobs and ain't tell that man nothing. He knew it.
Ain't tell that man.
He knew it. Something, bro.
No man. Idea.
That ain't your business, Doc.
Huh? Nah, ain't my business, bro. That ain't my business.
Hey, man. So we got 16 teams. Like I said, from 1980 to 2020, we got 16 teams that we're going to be breaking down. Today is the first of the first round. So we have four teams that we're going to be breaking down today. I'm going to let y'all know what they are in a minute. Of course, you know, I do want to have a bit of discussion before we get into it. So like we already talked about in our prep, I usually do my HBCU spotlight, my weekly rant, so I do want to kind of keep some of those elements in here, but also make sure that we keep an eye on what's going on in HBCU sports. And right now, the rave is primetime Deion Sanders, who's the new coach of Jackson State University. So, in my opinion, this is big because it's Deion, for one, a huge personality. And Deion is unlike any other HBCU coach right now, or probably any other HBCU coach in history. Deion's NFL ties, everybody knows his NFL ties. Like, it's no secret that if you playing with Deion, you anywhere in the sphere, in the realm of Deion, you got access to NFL. So to me, that's a great selling point, a great pitch for Deion to be able to get top tier talent to Jackson State. But we all know at the end of the day, though, Deion still got to win. So I've you know, in the past shows, I've talked about my opinions about Deion Sanders going to Jackson State. But I do kind of want to get you guys' opinion on what's happening right now at Jackson State and what you see happening in the future with black college football, depending on the success and or failure of Deion. So I guess we'll start with you, Sam. They ain't never heard from you before, man. How you feel about this Deion Sanders thing at Jackson?
So I'm excited about it, man. I mean, like you said, all the things you said, he a name, a known name, so you know he is gonna want to go to him. So I'm just excited to see how he does, because I hope that if he just can get it rolling, get those talented kids in, get upgrade the facilities and everything, because I think that's the main thing. Because I mean, like, a lot of people talk about all these kids should just go to HBCUs, but I mean, I can understand why they don't, because if you're a surgeon, if you want to be a surgeon, you're gonna go to a top school that's for surgeons. So right. If you want to be a pro football player, you're gonna go to a school that produces pro football players. So it makes sense. But if you can turn one of the HBCUs into that, then that'll just, who knows where it could go from there. So I'm pulling for him, man.
Right. And I do want to say this. Their facilities are better than FAMU's. Everybody's facilities are better than FAMU's. Rickers High School.
Not everybody.
Who's on that?
Winston-Salem
isn't. You're right. I've been forgetting about those schools. Well, representing Winston-Salem State, Jamar.
Oh, man. You know, I'm excited about Deion, too. I think one of the most important things is going to be this first season. And he has the ability to really kind of take advantage of the COVID environment that we're in, because you got a lot of players who are going to be entering into the transfer portal. Yeah. And so there are going to be a lot of players who are really focused on getting to the next level, not necessarily trying to, you know, have a college career or, you know, get their diplomas and all that stuff. And so, you know, these networks are going to need to recoup some of that income next year. So if you can get some of these players with some type of notoriety to come to that game, come to that school, you're going to have ESPN and other networks wanting to put them on TV. And with being on TV, you're going to have some success on the field.
Right.
And so that's what I'm looking forward to.
Right. What about you, Ward Dunn?
Man, to be perfectly honest, I think the optics alone is a major, man. You start to get the influence of somebody like a Deion. We're talking about one of the biggest, when you talk football, I don't care in what capacity, the name Deion Sanders is always going to be synonymous with greatness in football. You know what I mean? So, but the optics alone, to see to have those, the influence on those kids, when you talk about that going to that's coming out of high school, and now their thought process is, hey man, you know, HBCU, they might not have even thought about going to HBCU. You know what I'm saying? Now you talk about, like I said, like, I mean, there aren't many more bigger names than Deion Sanders when you talk about football. You know what I mean? And so the kids now, they can say, man, you know what? Maybe this might be the route I need to go. Like you said, there's a direct pipeline from Deion to the NFL. You know what I mean? So, you know, you think about the connections that he has and the connections with his coaching staff going to have, man, this, man, it's like a no-brainer for a lot of them guys now. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, they might not have thought about it in the past, but now, I mean, I don't think you'd be smart not to think about that. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
It's huge. That's huge, man.
Man, there's an article on the HBCU Game Day site. It's a great website, by the way, for your HBCU sports. But the the linebacker that transferred from USC to Jackson State, I can't think of his name right now. But that he is Abdul something, and then it come back to a regular Black American name. But his mom was in the article in the HBCU Game Day website. I rock with her because she was basically saying, hey, parents, let's get on the train of directing our Black kids to HBCUs, because that's what it's going to take to get the HBCU, the improvement that we need to raise the profile, to get more money, to get better players. Parents, let's get on board with this, because it's not like it's going to be a trash move across the board. But let's get on board with it. So to me, like seeing her do that, having her voice, her opinion, along with, all right, we at Jackson State too. Because it's, you know, no offense to what Willie Simmons got going on here at FAMU, because he's doing an awesome job. But he does have a pipeline to the league. Mm-hmm. But you're not Deion Sanders.
Right.
You're not the dude who showed up and ran the 4-1, the 4-2, and the 40. He just stretched. You didn't play in the World Series and the Super Bowl. And so that's a huge difference when you have Deion there. Because shit, it's Deion. So I think with that, we'll have a lot of, well, especially if Deion is successful. If Deion's successful, we're gonna have a new movement going to HBCU.
That's gonna
Abdul Malik McClain.
There you go.
Give him his flowers.
Abdul Malik American name.
Yeah. And, you know, if something like this is going to happen where there is some type of movement, you got to start somewhere.
Right.
And mm-hmm. there are very few, like Doc was saying earlier, there are very few names bigger than Deion Sanders, Black names, who would grab everybody's attention and want to put eyeballs on HBCU, both from an entertainment perspective as far as being broadcasted and from a recruiting perspective as far as prospective players choosing the HBCU route versus, you know, D1 college football teams.
Right, right. Nah, I'm with you. All right, just want to get y'all perspective on that. And so, all right, so we're going to do it like this. We're going to go ahead and jump to these brackets, then we're going to come back and talk about our little weekly rant thingy, so we can go ahead and get into it. So, me and the homies, we got together, and we decided on 16 teams that we are going to use to represent college football in our brackets. And these teams, we're going to go through and based off the criteria that we've set to see what's the greatest college football of the last 40 years. I know who I think it is, and that's one of the greatest things, because we're all coming in with ideas and biases on who we think is the greatest college football team. Y'all been listening to me. Y'all know I think the 01 Miami is the greatest college football team of all time. Some people think 13 FSU. Some people think 99 FSU. Some people think 93 FSU. Some people think 97 Michigan. No, I'm just
playing. Don't nobody say that. Yeah.
They ain't in here. Some people think
99 FAMU. But no. So we're going to give you our seeds. I'm going to tell you the seeds, and I'm going to tell you our criteria, and I'm going to tell you who's going up against who. So I start from number 16 to number 1. So number 16 seed, it's the 2014 Ohio State Buckeyes. Number 15 seed is the 2008 Oklahoma Sooners. 14 seed is the 2012 Alabama Crimson Tide. Number 13 seed is the 2008 Florida Gators. The 12th seed is the 1996 Florida Gators. I don't know how that happened. It just happened. The 11th seed is 97 Michigan. 10th seed is 99 Florida State. 9th seed is 87 Miami. The eighth seed is the 04 USC team. The seventh seed is the 2009 Alabama team. The sixth seed is the 2018 Clemson Tigers. The fifth seed is the number 13 FSU. Fourth seed is the 2001 Miami. The third seed is the 2005 Texas. The second seed is the 1995 Nebraska. And our number one seed is the 2019 LSU. So the criteria, actually the criteria that we use to determine who, how we're going to rank the teams is number of losses, margin of victory, and strength of schedule. And so for all these three categories, number of losses, margin of victory, strength of schedule, that's how we got our 1 through 16 seed. So the first round, we have 2019 LSU versus 2014 Ohio State. We also have 1995 Nebraska against 08 Oklahoma, 05 Texas against 2012 Alabama, 2001 Miami against 08 Florida, 2013 FSU versus 1996 Florida, 2018 Clemson versus 1997 Michigan, 09 Bama versus 99 FSU, 2004 USC versus 1987 Miami. All right, so we're starting off with four teams, two rounds, well, two matchups, 2019 LSU versus 2014 Ohio State, and then 1995 Nebraska versus 2008 Oklahoma State. And so let's kick this off, started with the 2019 LSU versus 2014 Ohio State. So before we get into the numbers, just off of optics, things you've seen, what you know about the teams, memories and things, if I just throw it out and say 2019 LSU going up against 2014 Ohio State, who win that game and why? Let's start there before we even get into the numbers.
19 LSU. It ain't even close. It's not close. Like when you look at it, either it's not close either. Whether you stack it up on paper or if you just think about the optics of it.
Yeah.
Because 2014 Ohio State, they wasn't on anybody. If you remember that season, they wasn't on anybody radar throughout the whole year. They just kind of came in at the back door at the last minute. And granted, now they played well. That run they had of the Big Ten, the versus Michigan in the Big Ten championship and in the playoffs, but the season leading up to it, they just weren't that impressive. Like they had that I think it was they lost to Virginia Tech that year, the beginning of the year, something like that, and Virginia Tech was like 500 or something. And LSU was just crushing everybody. So it's just not close to me.
No, yeah. I'm with you, Sam, bro. Like, that LSU team was just too explosive, bro. Like, I mean, they was throwing the ball all over the place, bro. We talking about, I mean, I just watching, just go back and watching that championship game. I was like, man, nobody can. They were just destined to win it, bro. Like, so them against 14, they probably put up 60 points on them boys. Like, I don't see that being a close game. Just being perfect. I don't even see that being close.
No, they had Zeke Elliott, dog. They had Zeke.
I don't care who they, bro, listen. That 19 team was different, bro. It was different, bro. And it's crazy. I don't think I started really paying attention to them until like the middle of the season. I'm like, man, LSU killing. Like, but then I watched it for the rest of the season. I'm like, nah, this is different. This is different. That team was special, bro.
But when we get into the numbers, I'm gonna tell you one of the things that stood out about the numbers for me for the 2019 LSU team. That's why I think they're special. But go ahead, Grant. I ain't mean to jump in front.
Man, when you just look at it from the optic standpoint, you had a quarterback throw 60 plus touchdowns. You had two wide receivers that were finalists for the Biletnikoff, and you had a first round running back.
Yeah,
they were overwhelming people, and yeah, there was nothing that teams could do about it.
They had a squad, but now I'm gonna play devil's advocate for 2014 Ohio State. They had talent across the board. Now they definitely had talent across the board. So if we just stacking talent versus talent from each team. Which team got the best talent?
I think talented is probably a little bit closer because, I mean, I haven't looked at it, but I want to say that 14 Ohio State team, they had a lot of dudes drafted. I mean, off the top of my head, I mean, I know Bosa was on it. I want to say, like, Zeke was on it. Michael Thomas. I'm sure some guys on the offensive line. So they had talent. But for whatever reason, they just didn't put it together like 19 LSU did. So, I mean, but like man for man, they had some good players. It's man for man, I think they can match up to them. But I don't know if it was just something magical about that 19 LSU team, man.
Bro, they had Eli Apple.
The synergy was different,
I
didn't mention
him. I forgot about him.
I know you did. The synergy was different, bro. They just had a bunch of players. You know what I'm saying? Bro, it was just players. You know what I mean? Like, you can have a team full of players, but, like, how does it look? You know what I'm saying? It's just like the super team with the Eagles. They had all the players, but it didn't look like nothing. You know what I mean? You can put a bunch of players on the team, but, you know, what does it look like? That LSU team looked like, and like, well, I mean, you talk about a well-oiled machine. That was different.
Yeah.
If you put Cardell Jones, Braxton Miller, and JT Barrett together, you would have got the production of Joe Burrow. And what makes it even crazier is that Joe Burrow was in that quarterback room with all the boys at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
Man, like that 14 team, man, it was a damn good team, I have to admit. But that 19 LSU team, to me, when I think about offense and defense, because I love the attitude the defense had. It's like they recognize we are top tier SEC team. And we need to play like it. Like, they played like they had that swagger, that attitude. So imagine taking like that 96 Florida offense and then like that 08 Florida defense. Just like, I'm just thinking about great offenses and great defenses. Because I felt like that 19 LSU team really exemplified a whole team having a great offense and a great defense. Because even though separate units, both units had the attitude of, we finna come out here and smash you. Because, you know, a lot of times, these teams, like the offense would be great, defense is mediocre. Defense is great, offense is middle of the pack, whatever. But they like, nah, fuck this. We finna come bust you in your mouth. They looked at Alabama. LSU looked at Alabama and said, y'all spread it out and throwing the ball? Watch this. And just came out in 1 year and just, hey, here it is, in your mouth. And you ain't gonna do nothing about it.
Yeah.
That shit was amazing, dog.
It was.
And then... Not because, like, but the drop off though, like the amount of players they had, the drop off from last year to this year is amazing. It's not even the same team. I haven't even tried to watch one of LSU's games this year. And it's just like, but the talent last year, that's
crazy.
It was, I don't know, man. I couldn't explain. I was tuned in. Like, I'm literally glued into this team. Like you said, the 04, I mean, 2014 Ohio State had talent. Like, I forgot they had Michael Thomas. I ain't gonna lie, I forgot they had Michael Thomas. And then looking at their roster, I was like, shit. Because even going through the numbers, putting everything together, I'm like, damn, like, these boys had some shit. But that 19 LSU, man. Different. Y'all, they number one seed for a reason.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
Bruh. So check this out. All right, so looking at these numbers, right? So, like I said, the numbers that we're using to have to get the teams to move from round to round, we're using margin of victory, number of All-Americans, total defensive rankings, number of players drafted, and total offensive rankings, right? So as far as margin of victory, let's start there. So with LSU had a margin of victory of 38.7, and Ohio State had a margin of victory of 22.8. I'm going to be honest with you. I was a little disappointed in Ohio State's margin of victory. I was expecting it to be higher.
Well, they lost the game. That's gonna bring you down.
Cause
that's a negative in that stat.
I get that.
But like I said, man, they just weren't. If you remember, I think that 14 Ohio State team, people remember the last three or four games. I think the title game against Wisconsin, the semifinal against Alabama, and then the championship against Oregon. But the rest of that season, I mean, it just wasn't. They weren't memorable. I mean, they just were kind of cruising along. That year, everybody was talking about. It was two things everybody was talking about. Well, the first thing was Florida State had their streak going on. That was the thing. And then it was the season Marcus Mariota was having.
Those two
things. So it was
Winston Mariota.
Everybody was talking about Alabama, Florida State, Oregon that year. Ohio State was just kind of hovering along. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They were just kind of hovering along. So I mean, like, it's easy to I can see why. Thinking about Ohio State, you would look for a higher number, but just the way that season went that year, they just were, you know, they were just kind of, you know, it was just kind of ho-hum.
Yeah, because to your point about the margin of victory, I think their team has just got better as the year went along. I mean, they lost by double digits to Virginia Tech. You know, that hurt their cause. They had a double overtime win against an unranked Penn State. They had a one touchdown win against Minnesota, and that was later in the year in November. You know, it wasn't until after they got to the end of the year against Michigan where they really started to take off. And then they had that real hot run, like they were going through an NCAA basketball tournament, and that's what people remember as if they were, you know, like a 9 seed going all the way to the Final Four, and you're a 9 seed. You end up being a good team at the end of the year, but you were a 9 seed for a reason. Ohio State really came out in 2014.
Well, I'm guessing because I'm looking at it after they lost to Virginia Tech, because they gave up 35 points to Virginia Tech, they came back with 1, 2, 3, 4 games in a row, and 4 of the last 6 games, they scored at least 50 points. So they had 66-0 against Kent State, 50-28 against Cincinnati, 52-24 against Maryland, 56-17 against Rutgers. And then when they played Illinois, they put up 55. And then even the game after that was 49 points. So they did have a string of games where they was doing at least 50 points, but then looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So the 11 of their last 12, 13 games, they reeled off at least 40 points. I guess that's what I was thinking.
Which is LSU's margin of average margin of victory? You know what I'm saying? Like, we're talking about
that kind of inflates the number a little bit because you're talking about Kent State and Cincinnati,
right?
And Maryland, you're supposed to be, you know, you're supposed to score 40 and 50 points against them because they got nobody that can start on your team.
Nobody.
Yeah, but that. Right. That game against Virginia Tech just kills them, man. It just kills them. Because I remember, like, you brought up a good point. I remember it being a loss, but I think, Javard, you said that. I didn't remember how lopsided it was. Yeah, Virginia Tech, really. I think it was about 20 or so.
35.
They really handed it to them.
And that was at Ohio State.
So,
right. I guess they thought they were live coming off that win against Navy. So,
and then some of the teams that they scored 50 points on, had a better record than Virginia Tech.
Because this was around the years where Virginia Tech would have those good wins and then just be ass throughout the rest of the season.
Yeah.
That was one of those years.
they didn't garner the attention, man. It was like, you know, like you said, bro, they got – I mean, having players is one thing, but being able to put it together on the field and, you know, not losing to Virginia Tech if you got all this talent is something different. You know what I'm saying? Right. So I don't think – like you said, they didn't really garner that attention until the last couple of games. Everybody's like, oh, Ohio State making noise. Like, what were y'all doing at the beginning of the season? You know what I'm saying? Like, it was never – nobody ever was like, okay, Ohio State's, you know, nobody. It came out of nowhere.
And if you remember, Ohio State wasn't even supposed to get in the playoffs. It was supposed to be Baylor or TCU.
Yeah,
but they didn't have a championship game.
They canceled each other out.
So that canceled them out. And they played Wisconsin and beat the brakes off of them because they had to. Just
try
to get into the playoff.
And Wisconsin did what they normally do, be Wisconsin. So, hey, we almost there. We think we want to win. We think we want to up. We're Wisconsin.
Nah, yeah, right.
Yeah, we're cheese.
Right.
All right,
yeah,
so.
Wisconsin, a proverbial yeah, but team.
Yeah, them in Michigan State. Hey, and everybody, Didn't Ohio State this year, then they lose to Michigan State? Somebody? Who lost to Michigan State recently? Because Michigan State been getting the train ran on them by every team in the Big Ten, and they came back and beat somebody.
They beat Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking about everybody dipping on Michigan State. Everybody, even the lame down the street getting the back of the line, get to dip his tip in on Michigan State. And here come Michigan. They get put in the book.
Yeah. All right,
So LSU has a higher margin of victory. LSU's margin of victory is actually 38.7. Ohio State's is 22.8. All right, so move on to number of All-Americans. So we have a number of consensus All-Americans and then total All-Americans. So LSU has 4 consensus All-Americans and 5 total All-Americans. Ohio State has 1 consensus All-American and 2 total All-Americans from Ohio State. And we know who, Ezekiel Elliott and somebody.
I think it was Bosa and Elliott.
Okay, Bosa and Elliott. And then from LSU, everybody been.
I think Bosa was the unanimous choice. But them was the two guys.
Okay. Hey man, not to keep harping on this, but this LSU team was goddamn special, man.
It's special, bro. Because
listen to what we saying. This 2014 Ohio State team ain't nothing to sneeze at all.
No.
With the talent they got, but we ain't looking at them, and we ain't talking about them in an energy like, hey man, they can really challenge these boys. Because from the jump, just off the normal thought, we like y'all boys with goddamn Bone Thugs and Harmony 2019.
Yep.
So,
bro, two things can be absolutely true. 2014 could be a good team. It could be a great team, but they still could get their ass whooped by 2019.
Yeah. Yeah,
it don't matter.
To your point about the team being special, they fell off a cliff this year.
Oh yeah,
losing all the talent that they lost. Ohio State was, I think, 11-1 the following year after they lost all their talent.
Right.
So this was a whole complete different type of special that this 2019 team was.
Yeah,
it's crazy. And like, just starting with, you had probably arguably the greatest quarterback season in the history of college football.
Yes.
I mean, you just start there, and then the rest of it is just still falling into place. It's nuts.
And it's just crazy the development that Burrow had from year one at LSU to year two, because he had a mediocre season prior. He threw 16 touchdowns. And then he comes back the next year. I know a lot of it has to do with coaching and scheme.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it has to do with that. But to go from 16 touchdowns to 60, you have to have an immense amount of talent.
Yeah.
That wasn't being utilized prior.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Derek Stingley Jr., Grant Dell Pitt. Who was the other All-American for LSU?
So those were the consensus. And then I think who was the I'm looking at it now. Who was the last guy?
Was it the running back?
Yeah, I think it was Clyde. It was Hilaire.
Yeah.
Clyde. Hey, and he balling right now for them Chiefs.
Yeah.
It was the offensive lineman. Offensive lineman named Damian Lewis was an All-American for another publication. So he was the one guy that wasn't a consensus.
Okay.
And that's crazy. That's crazy to have that many, because usually with All-Americans, you have, you know, like, you have a guy here, there, that's like a couple of guys that everybody agrees is the best in the country. They have four that everybody said these guys are the best in the country at that position.
Right. Live. All right, so move on to total defensive ranking. So this is where Ohio State gets a victory. So LSU total defensive ranking, they were ranked 33rd. Ohio State's total defensive ranking, they were ranked 19th. So yay, Ohio State, y'all get a victory in this head-to-head battle if it really matters. It's gonna help, but so they gave up a whole lot of points. But
I would say LSU put up the points that warranted.
Yeah, well, I guess I would say for LSU, because a lot of teams were playing catch up football and they was getting a lot of trash time points and stuff. They're getting second and third team players too, so that had to be factored.
And then another thing I think is
you put up 30 in the second half, you down by 50, it don't matter.
Yeah.
Right.
And then last year and like these last few years, it's kind of been a shift in the way the SEC is playing. Because for a long time before that, the SEC was all about, you would see the game, the final score would be 20-17, 17-14, you know, maybe occasionally 31-24 or something like that.
But then the last few years,
they starting to put up these offensive numbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Everybody.
So I think that's a part of it versus like the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Versus the Big Ten, is still kind of, you know, like possession and field position ball and stuff like that. So
time management.
That's not surprising to me. Mm-hmm.
And then if you just look at the level of competition, the Big Ten was not that great that year, and so you had less quality offenses that they had to defend against.
Yeah, true.
And the quality of LSU's schedule was much higher. They played, you know, four top 10 teams in the regular season.
Right.
Five include the SEC championship game.
Right. Nah, that's true. All right, so This stat to me is fucking amazing, man. Even though Ohio State has the edge in this category, but the caveat is 2014 Ohio State has had a chance for, you know, their total draft class, their four draft classes to go through. So remembering that for 2019 LSU, we're only able to count players who are drafted from that team from last year. That's it, because hell, this year they're playing. But just looking at the number, Ohio State overall from that 2014 roster had 21 draft picks. LSU has 14. No, don't hew yet. LSU has 14 draft picks from that roster, and we only talking about just last year.
Mm. Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
Bro, like, they're on Ohio State ass just off of 1 year. It's like,
yeah, as I was looking at that, it's kind of amazing.
It took Ohio State 4 years to get 21 players.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the talent on that squad, man, 14 players. Like, they broke a record. They broke the draft record.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Honestly, I hear what you're saying, but based on the way LSU's playing now, I mean, how many of those guys gonna get drafted? Yeah. So it seems like it just all came together for that 1 year.
It did.
And like the bulk of those players that you're talking about, like, cause like just off the top of my head, I'm thinking obviously Stingley is gonna get drafted.
Stingley and the receiver.
Jamar Chase.
Did Moss go in the draft?
Yeah, see, Moss already gone.
Okay.
So
he had a big playoff, so he had to go.
I think that just goes to show, like, what we was talking about. It's just like everything just came together for them for that one season. But I mean, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, because like you said, I mean, they might have other players get drafted, but I mean, that is impressive for basically 1 year of players.
Right. But now I hear what you're saying, though. I do hear what you're saying, because like I said earlier, LSU has definitely fallen off a cliff this year. The offense isn't the same. Of course, you know, the coach took the job with the Saints, the Falcons, the somebody's. So he took the offensive coordinator job. So the offense doesn't look the same. Coach, LSU really went back to looking like LSU before that offensive coordinator got there. So,
yeah. Right. Ohio State as a program is a much better program than LSU.
Right. But this year,
LSU is just always littered with talent. And they, in 19 was just the 1 year that they got all together.
Right. All right. So the last stat is total offensive ranking, and I think we already know who had the highest ranking offense. Even though Ohio State's offense was goddamn explosive, Ohio State offense is ranked 9th, and Grant got the stat. So total yards per game, 511.6, which is ranked 9th overall. Passing yards per game, 247.1, which is ranked 52nd. Rushing yards per game is 264.5, which is ranked 9th. LSU, total yards per game, 568.4, ranked number 1. Passing yards per game, 401.6, ranked 1. And rushing yards per game, 166.8, ranked 62nd. But LSU edges out Ohio State as far as total offensive rankings. With that bomb ass offense they had throwing to everybody, but we could have went out there and scored 10 touchdowns apiece, bit.
That was a light show, bro. That was a light show.
Yeah. With that particular stat, the one thing that stick out to me is watching the semifinal game. Like, for the people that don't know, I work overnight, so I'm watching it, kind of dozing in and out. I see the score is 49-7. I'm thinking, man, they done crushed them. Then I hear the announcer say, well, we're going into halftime. What the hell?
Right.
I'm like, what the hell just happened? I can't believe it.
Bro, I stopped watching the game at halftime. I can't watch no more of this.
Hey.
I went to go get some food and came back thinking, you know, the first quarter just started. Already 21-0.
I was in the front room laying on my couch, just watch LSU lay them boys down, pull their pants down, open up their ass, and just shit on them boys. Just
that's pretty much what happened.
Let it go. Just let
that
shit.
Crazy.
Man, look at here. So with that being said, looking at it, LSU has the highest margin of victory with 38.7. LSU has the highest number of All Americans. Ohio State edges LSU out in total defensive ranking and number of players drafted, but LSU edges Ohio State out with total offensive ranking. So that would give LSU, 2019 LSU, the victory over 2014 Ohio State. So 2019 LSU get the move on to the second round. Yay!
Congratulations, fellas. Congratulations.
Hand claps. Ah! Somebody's getting fucked after the game.
Okay.
All right. So next, we got 1995 Nebraska against 2008 Oklahoma. I ain't gonna lie. I was waiting on this. This one of them matchups out of all on that I've been waiting on because
yeah,
I know a lot of y'all young folk, y'all don't know nothing about them black shirts at Nebraska. Y'all don't know nothing about that 94-95 stretch with Nebraska and they were just running through folks. So y'all probably
you could have two teams from Nebraska on this list, honestly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, sure. They probably you could just say 90s Nebraska.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For real. Florida State for the best team of the decade. Sure.
Bruh. So now that 08 Oklahoma team ain't nothing to sneeze at. Nothing to sneeze at. Even though they had two losses, this is a team that's capable of beating almost every team on this list. Almost every team on this list. So let's start it off. From what you remember from 95 Nebraska and you remember from 08 Oklahoma, them teams meet head to head. Who winning?
Woo! It's tough. I would say, and part of it is just because that's when you started really paying attention to college football, but 95 Nebraska was just crushing everybody. So I just go with them, man. They seemed invincible.
Man, look here. Who was I'm trying to remember. I'm trying not to. Oh yeah, Lawrence Phillips and Tommy Frazier. Oh, Scott Frost was on the team, but Tommy Frazier was the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Man, look. All right, for y'all young folk who don't know, man, look.
Innovator,
bruh. Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips. Look. Fuck Tim Tebow and all the other quarterbacks and stuff that you think. Look, Tommy Frazier was one of those quarterbacks that he helped pave the way for somebody like a Tim Tebow, all these other running quarterbacks, because in the time where it wasn't advantageous for black quarterbacks, especially trying to go to the league. It wasn't good for them to have the label of a running quarterback. It wasn't. But Tommy Frazier took that offense, which was an option offense back when Nebraska was winning, and they dominated college football. That 94 when they ran through Florida, 95 when they ran through Florida, man, that was embarrassing how they did Florida. I think this 95, even though I love this 08 Oklahoma, I say 95 Nebraska getting that ass.
The thing that people got to remember about Nebraska is that the forward pass was
a trick. Tommy Frazier, he just broke another tackle from Florida.
The forward pass was a trick in that offense.
Yes,
right.
Which translates to you know what is coming.
Yes. And you still can't stop it.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's coming and you're still getting beat by 38 points a game.
Like straight up. Like there's no way around it. We either going up the middle, we're going left, or we're going right. You decide.
When you talk about option, like running the option, like that's like the Bible right there. Like Tommy Frazier and what that was Osborne team, right? Like that was was like when you talk about innovation for me, bro, when I think about option, I always think about watching Tommy Frazier run an option. It was really like it's like an encyclopedia, bro. Like watching that man was like a magician. And watching that team going back, and you talk about if Lawrence Phillips could have stayed out of trouble, bro, like one of the best athletes or running backs we ever seen grace the football field, like that team was crazy. And like JG said, bro, you knew they was running an option. You knew it. You studied for it. You fell asleep. You woke up thinking about it.
None of that mattered.
and you still couldn't do nothing about it. Nothing.
Bro, teams against Nebraska looked like our JV football team against that Childs when they ran out that option.
Oh, my God. Ran through our head. Bro, I'll never forget that. We spent that whole time practicing spread, and then they came out running the option, and we all just looked at each other. Bro, we just looked at each other like, what is we finna do?
They told us like 3 days before the game, we got to play two teams. Oh, yeah. We got another team to play, man. Like, what? Man, look, man. I encourage all y'all, if you still in the dark, even though we adamant as a motherfucker about this, go look up on YouTube or whatever you watch videos on, OnlyFans, whatever. And look up 95 Nebraska, bro. I'm telling you,
95, man.
If you need to look up the whole clip, just look up against Florida, bro. I mean, that'll tell you all you need to know.
And Tommy Florida, Frazier,
what the one play? What he broke like 12 tackles?
Right.
Oh, right, man.
But you want to know now? Look at this. Remember now, we got the 96 Florida team on this list. So, if the 96 Florida team is on this list, the 95 Florida team was in the championship game. They just lost to Nebraska. So, Nebraska didn't play no scrubs.
Nope.
Right.
That team was elite.
Man. And you don't know how elite they are. We ain't even started talking about 08 Oklahoma yet.
That's right. Oh, right.
It was Sam Bradford.
Now Bradford was balling. Now we listen.
Bradford was balling.
Like every time I turned on ESPN, it was Bradford here. He came with a lot of hype that year, but he stood up. He stood up to it.
I tell you what, I would love to have Sam Bradford's NFL career. Mm-hmm. I get paid that much just to get hurt, bruh.
He got in just before they changed the rookie signing things because he got that 50 mil at the gate.
He changed it. He was the reason they changed it, right?
Yeah.
We ain't doing this no more, man.
And he kept getting hurt. Yeah, so they had Sam Bradford,
DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, they was.
Ross, didn't he?
Iglesias was good.
Defense, they had Gerald McCoy.
Yep. They had Colby Smith. I don't know. So, his name just on there.
not our dog, Colby.
I just saw the name and looked familiar, so I said.
Not 32, huh? Not 32.
Right. Yeah, like you said, Gerald McCoy. So, we're coming up to that, but they got a badge against all the players who was drafted. Moises Madu, at running back. Him, Ryan Broyles.
I remember Broyles. Broyles was a snap.
Yep. Manuel Johnson. Jermaine Gresham. I forgot they had Gresham.
Gresham.
Yep. James Hanna. Played tight end. Trent Williams. Hey. Oh man, they had Trent Williams.
People sleep on them because they didn't win the title. But right. they were really good.
They had Dominique Franks as well. Damn.
No, they had a squad, bro. I vividly because I don't know what it was. I just remember watching, I feel like every time I was watching, Sam Bradford was tossing it to Broyles some kind of way. I'm like, golly, they're going off.
Yeah. Now, you can't lie. Sam Bradford did, like, that team did ball like they did what they needed.
Ball.
Right.
For sure.
Right. All right. So.
I'm going to read you their scores for the last six games of the year. Just the points that Oklahoma offense put up. 58. 62, 66, 65, 61, 62.
Right.
And that's people.
I don't care who that's against. That's a lot of points.
But no, Hold on. You got to get a full story, Grant. You got to get a. So they, the first game, they put up 57. The second game, they put up 52. Third game, they put up 55. Now they came back with a weak ass 35 the fourth game, but then they came back with 49 points. Then came back.
Hey, hold on. The moment you can say 35 is weak, that's how you know they putting up.
Right.
Yeah.
Against low points, a really good TCU.
Yeah.
Their low points on the season or their lowest scoring games, 35, 35, 24. So your lowest scoring total on the year was 24 points.
That's crazy.
The boys is live, man. So let's start it off. Margin of victory, because so overall we had three teams whose margin of victory was just crazy. So 2019 LSU, 95 Nebraska, and 13 Florida State. Their margin of victory was just crazy. So 95 Nebraska's margin of victory was 38 points. 08 Oklahoma's margin of victory was 26.6. But the two losses do hurt the margin of victory. So their margin of victory came out to be middle of the pack at 26.6. All right. So number of All-Americans, Nebraska had one consensual All-American and four total All-Americans. Oklahoma had one consensual All-American and five total All-Americans.
So they got the edge there.
Yeah, so Oklahoma do have that edge there. And that, to me, though, this is the sneaky team. This is the team that you really have to watch out for. Yeah, they got two losses, but everything else got their numbers put them like right there to contend with any other team.
The thing about those losses, one is when they lost to Texas, if I'm not mistaken, Sam Bradford missed the majority of the game. And then I mean, the 08 Florida team, that team was really freaking good.
Yeah,
so,
it was. We're never going to lose again. We lost a game. We're not going to lose again. I can't believe it. I eat cereal, everything. I don't want college football players to get paid.
Oh, man.
I talk like this, and I never take a breath. And when I do like this, and I don't know.
Hey, Tebow wasn't playing with y'all, man. He told you. Tebow said he wasn't playing.
We'll never lose again. Until I get to the Broncos. Well, no, I do respect the fact that he went to his team and was like, hey, we not losing again.
Yeah.
And they didn't. So, all right. So,
that old Miss team, but that's another show.
They shouldn't have. So, total defensive ranking. Nebraska's total defensive ranking was 13. And Oklahoma total defensive ranking was 59. We know the Big 12 do not play defense.
Right.
Right.
That's why they had to score a million points. Mm.
They scored a lot of points and they gave up a lot of points too.
Right. And then they also going up against a team who they were proud. They took pride in playing great defense. That's why they tried to have as many black shirts as possible. So for the young folk and folk who just don't know, Nebraska's black shirts were basically their standout players. So, like LSU give their best player number 7. Nebraska said, you know what? We got a bunch of good players. If you consider the black shirt, that means you are one of the elite players on this team. And to be a sophomore or a junior, because black shirts was usually reserved for seniors. So, if you're a sophomore or a junior with a black shirt, which rarely happened, but it happened, you was exceptional. So they took pride in defense. So I'm not surprised at the total defensive rankings for either of these, because the Big 12 outside of TCU just refused to play defense, and Nebraska took pride in it. So
they was just choking people out. They was just choking people out.
Yeah, we're gonna score as many points as possible, and if you don't like it, we're gonna still score and hope to win.
Yep.
All right, so number of players drafted, Nebraska had 27 players drafted from that 95 team, and Oklahoma had 26 from that 08 team, which was pretty damn close. And I was when I was looking up those stats, so there were for each team, there were two or three players who were drafted in particular years, but wasn't necessarily on that 95 team.
Okay.
And so I was thinking either they might have been transfers who came in. So when I was because you know I tried to go 4 years out. So going that fourth year out, you had about two or three players who you got Jimmy Johnson who was drafted to the Colts. And it's like, well, he ain't on this 95 team, he might have been a transfer either or something. But they're both, I mean, neck and neck. They neck and neck because they had talent. Like both these teams had goddamn talent. So and then total offensive ranking, Nebraska had their total offensive ranking was number two. So, Oklahoma.
So where we at on three.
The huh? Go ahead.
Nah, I was just saying where we at on the rest of the ranking. That's what I was trying to get to.
Oh, just so total offensive ranking. So Nebraska's ranked number two. Their total yards per game, 556.3, which is the number two ranking. Rushing yards per game, 156.5, which is ranked 89th. I mean, passing yards, 156.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
I'm surprised they got that. They ranked 89th. Yeah, who was ranked lower than them? Shoot.
Right.
Rushing yards, 339.8, they ranked first. So, Oklahoma, total yards per game, 547.9, which is the number three overall ranking. Passing yards per game, 349.4, number three ranking. Rushing yards per game, 198.5, which is ranked 21st. But it averaged out to Nebraska having the number two offensive ranking. So if we look at going back and looking at everything, margin of victory, 95, Nebraska has the highest margin of victory, 38 to 26.6. Number of All-Americans, Oklahoma has 5 to Nebraska's 4. Total defensive ranking, Nebraska's defense was ranked 13th, Oklahoma's 59th. Number of players drafted, Nebraska edges out Oklahoma 27 to 26. And then total offensive ranking, Nebraska edges out Oklahoma number two to number three. So 1995, Nebraska gets to move on to the second round.
And Tommy Frazier just broke another tackle, bitch.
Just broke
another.
Who that Ben Hanks from Florida still falling off?
Still falling off.
The thing is, there was still nobody in the frame when he scored.
Right.
It was all on the ground.
Right. Yeah, like he ran through 75 people and then just broke out. Like, that was amazing. Hey, man, two games in my life of college football that had me sick. Before that, 93. Florida State, Florida. Because I remember Sam, you and Caleb, y'all was over here at the crib. We were watching that. So
yeah, I remember that.
The boy, Florida then went up. So we go outside to play football. We like the game over. Man, we come back inside, the game tied. We like, man, what the hell? We just been like outside, mad. And then that 95 team, like to watch Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips run through Florida the way they did, it was sickening, man. It was sick.
Boys are special, bro.
It wasn't sickening for me, but yeah, I mean, it just what it was, man.
All right. So our victors so far, round one, 2019 LSU. And the 1995 Nebraska. So next week's show, we will have 2005 Texas versus 2012 Alabama and my homeboys, the 2001 Miami versus 2008 Florida, which is going to be a hell of a matchup. So that's going to be what we talk about next week. So we come back with the highest margin of victory, the highest number of All-Americans, highest total defensive ranking, highest number of players drafted and highest total offensive rankings. So that's what we come back with next week, and it's going to be going down. So also, for those watching it and those listening in, hey, send us your comments. If you're watching on YouTube, put your comments in the comment section. Which team you think is better and why? If you think we got something wrong, you want to challenge our thoughts and stuff? We're challenging. We come back and talk shit about you when we get back on it next week, wherever it is. You can email me if you got any any information you want to add or questions, or you just want to talk shit about these teams, joe@freedomtrainradio.com. Make sure you get it to me. Make sure y'all put stuff in these comments because we want people engaging on this video, engaging on the post, telling us what y'all think. I know if somebody out there think we don't know what the hell we talking about, and you can bring it on, because we'll bust your head wide open with all this information, because we've been arguing against each other forever, so we ready.
Forever.
So, ooh, in your face. So before we close the show out, we got that weekly rant thing real quick. This past week, a video surfaced of a Georgia high school football coach, City League, Pee Wee, like Pee Wee.
Yeah, they like Pee Wee.
So the coach decided he was mad about something and he slapped the dog shit out the little boy. Like the dog shit out the little boy. And so I'm looking for the video now so I can pull it up and I'm gonna play it for y'all. Cause this, it's ridiculous what happened, but it happened. But I'm also surprised that none of the parents had an issue with this, or if they did have an issue, why ain't nobody run out on the field and whoop somebody's ass? Like, dude should have had his ass whooped. You know what I'm saying? So let me try to
right.
get this thing to play after this damn
Adrian.
Yeah, babe, we ain't buying this shit. Go daddy to these nuts. So here it is. He smacked the hell out of the little boy. Smacked the hell out of the little boy. And he ain't got his mask on. Got the little tight ass shorts on. He ain't got no mask on. And he run up on the little boy like he owed him money or something.
Mm-hmm. I told him he stepped into that. It made no sense. The thing that's crazy to me, man, is like what you said. One, nobody did nothing at that moment, and then two, it's the team itself, the parents on the team were actually trying to defend him. It was the league that had to step in and say, "No, bro, you got to go." I'm like, why are y'all trying to defend him?
Parents were trying to defend him.
Yeah. The parents on the actual team. They were trying to say we support, you know, we gonna have his back, whatnot. It made, you know, he made a mistake and things like that, but we're gonna move forward. But the league stepped in and said no, he has to go. And I'm like, what?
Is that team good? Like they have a win record, and that's why the parents wanted him to stay, because their sons are winning or on a winning team.
I want to say that some of that was going on, because like I said, I was looking at a lot of the comments and like, yeah, apparently this is like a playoff or something like that. But like, yeah man, the parents of the team, they wanted him to stay. Even the kid's mom wasn't like, you know, I don't want to say she was trying to excuse it, but she was more of the mindset of like, you know, we're going to move on from it. But like the league had to come in and say, "Nah, he got to go."
It's this city league football. It's not, man. Look, I don't know, dog. I think I would have wanted, if my child and I, if I would have been out there, the first thing I'd have been thinking, we got to put hands on, buddy. Because, we face our coaches did to us things that they probably shouldn't have done. And we've seen the coach whoop a dude ass on the field, you know. Mm-hmm. We saw that when coach drove buddy off that hill. We seen mm-hmm. that when we did. So at the time we kids, we jits. But and I don't want to say it's different because it's not different. But I guess our excuse for that was at that time we are kids too, so we don't really exactly know fully.
We don't know any better.
But as a grown man, me sitting there watching that, whether that's my child or not, this game is not going to continue. This right. game uh-huh. is over right now. And buddy, we got to see you. You got to catch these hands. Not these hands, but these hands.
That's a grown man, bro. Like, and it wasn't just like, no, come on, stop it. But he stepped into it and right. stopped that kid. Like, think about the strength the strength that you have as a grown man versus a child. Bro, you he could have man, he could have broke that boy's neck, man.
Right. Like, even with all his equipment, he could have really hurt that kid, man.
Yeah, that's a kid, bro. And he stepped into it like he was slapping another grown man, bro.
Right.
Like, I'm with you, bro. That ain't no more football after that. Ain't no, if it's my child, ain't no more football. Call the police.
Yeah.
Cause something happened. Like, ain't no more football, man.
Yeah. Man, imagine if this was basketball. That kid would have been bleeding in his mouth.
Man.
He got hit right.
Right. Because like the first one was hard enough, but then he came back again and stepped into it even more and hit him hard enough to knock the kid to the ground. What?
That's nuts, bro.
And then the parents, Sam, you saying the parents are trying to rationalize it for him. The parents are trying to take up for him. What? Yeah. No.
Yeah, it was like, it was. If you get a chance, go, cause like the team, the name of it was the Savannah Gators. So if you go on like Facebook, they got like a team page, and like yeah, he had like a little apology, which was like a non apology.
It was a BS and, apology, yeah.
Yeah, and then like. If you look at the comments, a lot of the comments of parents, you know, saying, yeah, you know, we support the coach and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, what in the world are we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? I mean, like, even if they are in the playoffs, or even if he is a good coach or whatever, I mean, like, it's not worth this.
Right. Because if this is what he's capable of doing when the lights are on and everybody's at the game, what is he doing in practice?
Right.
Exactly. Right.
If they hadn't caught that on camera, is he still the coach?
Yes. Right. Yes. If there's no public backlash, especially going off of what Sam just said, if the parents are going to stand up for him, if there's no public backlash, if there's no video, but he's still the coach.
Yeah.
100%.
That's crazy. That's crazy to me.
Like, that's ridiculous. He need his ass whooped.
And the parents are ridiculous. Ain't nobody got a college scholarship or went to the NFL based on their peewee career.
Nobody.
Right.
Nobody.
And you know that's what they're thinking about. They're thinking about the fact that, he probably – I mean,
my meal ticket. He going to be a first-round draft pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to deliver even.
The boys still pee on themselves. What are we talking about? They ain't grown. They let them be kids.
Some boys don't even like football. They playing because they
like
playing. That's the shit I'm always talking about on this show, on this podcast. That's one of the things I'm always hitting on is, especially as black folk, we got to stop looking for our kids to save the damn family. It's a you got all these goddamn adults. Why don't y'all get your old asses up and save the damn family? Second of all, you can't expect no damn 12-year-old child. You're gonna base your family on this 12-year-old getting through middle school, getting through high school, getting through college, and then going to the league. But you know how many years you got all y'all old ass people could have changed your family around?
Right.
But it's not this serious. It's not. First of all, we're in the middle of a pandemic. First of all, why do we have youth league football in the middle of a damn pandemic? How are y'all checking people's temperatures? We're not even checking temperature because that don't mean nothing. How are y'all making sure they not playing against other folk with that Rona?
Yeah, no, that's real.
Because you're now you're putting people's lives at risk.
I was shocked they even started back with the youth sports. First of all, professional sports. But then when they opened back with youth sports, I was like, you know, I mean –
ain't nobody
gonna
bring
y'all for
youth
sports.
Right.
Bruh. All right, Sam, you here in Tallahassee. First of all, I'm disappointed in our black communities. Sam, you in Tallahassee too.
Yeah.
When you ride through black communities, it looked like January. They've never put on masks. They've never social distanced. They've never followed any other protocol, any other rules. Never. But these the same
people. Didn't they just have like an event at the moon or something like that?
Bro, they've been having events everywhere. The Lux Lounge, like people going playing laser tag. Like they, like these folk out here in Tallahassee, black folk out here in Tallahassee,
living. Out here
getting it in like they in Atlanta, or it ain't no Rona going around. And then, but these are the same people who are going to these games, these youth football games, coaching these teams and stuff. Like y'all, y'all crazy. But then it's like it's bad enough you're playing in the middle of the pandemic, but then you got fuckboy number 79 who just inducted himself into the International Fuckboys Hall of Fame for slapping the hell out of that little boy.
T lost his job. And they say he banned for life from the league. I'm like, well, do you know what you just did?
Right.
At the job of a hat, you lost everything. You just lost your job. You lost your way of living, bro. Behind
a 9-year-old dropped the pass.
Right.
And he fumbled the ball. He missed a tackle.
Guess what? Mm-hmm. That's what kids do.
Right. Adults do it.
Kids, that's what pro football players do.
Right.
They fumble the ball. They cost people games and playoffs and championships.
And they making millions. I don't remember seeing none of them coaches slap them in the head like that.
Right.
You slap Tyreek Hill if you want to, man.
Hey, but like Grant said earlier, bruh, dude got to be our age or older. We 36. So dude got to be our age or older. You coaching youth football. You shouldn't be getting that upset because this is the peak of your coaching career.
Yeah.
It's not going to get no better for you from here. You may be a coordinator somewhere. Maybe. But as head coaching, this is your peak.
At a high school. Because
it wasn't like coaching was even like his profession. That he had another full-time job. Right. He should know that coaching ain't gonna be it, because otherwise that would be your full-time job.
Bruh.
My point is this. What kind of response do you expect a child to give you after you slap him in the head?
Right. Now I don't like your head no more.
First of all, I'm scared. You didn't slap me. Boy probably got a slight concussion. So what do you expect him to go back out there and do better now? Like what did you expect to gain from that?
A bunch of bullshit.
The embarrassment, bro. I mean, to be did like that and then in front of all of the other kids on the team.
And then it go viral.
Now everybody in the world has seen it. Y'all saw the response that LeBron and a lot of the other guys said, They're like, nah, my kid, even if it wasn't, we would have had. Yeah, and because Shannon Frost of Venom.
Yeah, it was hot. It was like, man, I would have had that dude that. And but to me, that's the thing that really make me upset is why is everybody who wasn't there more upset than people who were there?
At what
point do we really take serious that we supposed to be protecting our children? Like, at what point? Because nobody decided to protect that young man. All the parents failed. All of them, the parents need their asses whooped.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. So, but man.
But it's like you said, man, they bought into that culture. These kids is our ticket to a better life.
Yeah, start taking your head to night school. God damn it.
right. No, it's unreal, bro. It's unreal. It's right. People watching it, bro. Every time I see it, bro, my skin crawl. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, that's a kid, man.
It is.
You slapped a kid like a grown man, bro. Had the bravado to come back and do it again.
Yeah, because that lets you know that. You know, it wasn't a mistake. That was intentional.
Right.
You hit him. You had time to think about what you did, and you decided, I'm still mad. Oh,
right.
I'm finna hit you again. Because you shouldn't have made a mistake.
It's crazy.
Mistake you made.
Right. Right.
Unreal, bro.
Fuck, boy. Hey, Doc. Sam and Grant think they lie because they got edges and hair on their head and shit. We don't
see y'all. Hey, no hair don't care.
There you go. Hey, how about this? I was commenting on the post on Instagram yesterday because a lot of people misinformation about the Tuskegee experiment. I ain't say nothing malicious to nobody. We just talk about the information and research. So some little bitch ass dude got mad at my comment. I don't know why, because I went back and looked at it. I was like, all I was just saying is I disagree in your point and because you didn't provide the information. So dude was like, yo, 25 yo with a bald head. And I'm like, I'm like, bro.
You gave me a compliment, man.
I'm just a compliment. I'm about to be 37 in a month. And you think I look 25. My shit is glowing, huh?
Hey, you forgot what y'all were arguing about.
Thank you, my good sir.
I appreciate you, bro. You're right. Let me take my comment down.
Let me make sure I'm balder the next time you see me.
Hey. Hey, he probably 6 years old on that bitch.
He ain't got no picture on that.
Trolling like a bitch.
Yeah. That shit was funny as hell, man. Hey, well, I appreciate everybody tuning in for another episode of Fix Sports Podcast. But most of all, appreciate my homeboys, man. I love y'all boys. Thank y'all for coming through. Mr. Javard Grant, a.k.a. Braxton P. Hart and the Brig. Mr. Doc Love, a.k.a. Doc Love. And Mr. SLD Sammy Lamont Dixie. I'm trying to give you a whole new nickname, Sammy Lee Dixie. One time. Hey man, I love y'all, boy. I appreciate y'all coming through and hopping with me. So next week we got 05 Texas versus 12 Alabama, 01 Miami versus 08 Florida. And be in because this is the place to be. And if you ain't here, you ain't talking about nothing. www.freedomtrainradio.com. Two fingers in the air like a player. We the hell up.